Use your mobile phone to get 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review Journal. 7 at 7, weekdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. You're listening to Vegas Nation. It's Monday, which means it's time for First and 10 with your host, Vinny Bonsignor and Sam Gordon.
What is good, Raider Nation? Welcome back to Vegas Nation. First and 10, your Monday go-to for Raider news and analysis. And welcome to free agency. I'm just going to tell you that I know that it starts on Wednesday, but really it starts today. Teams are allowed to talk. They call it the legal tampering period. Trust me, contracts are being negotiated as we speak and agreed upon, and everything is rolling right now. So, of course, you can't announce things officially until Wednesday, 1 p.m. Pacific time. Forget that East Coast time. It's all about the PT out this way. So 1 p.m. Wednesday is when deals will start to be announced officially. Before I bring on Sam Gordon, my great co-host, just want to let you know that the show today is brought to you by the Las Vegas Review Journal and presented by Blue Wire. Sam, what's good? Are you ready to rock and roll? It's because it's here in the blink of an eye. Here we are.
Man, Vinny, the off season, I mean, just the last 6 weeks have flown by. You ready for a busy week? It's going to be a busy week.
I absolutely am. I already told my family yesterday. We went out to, we took my mother-in-law out to lunch for her birthday. By the way, I'm just going to plug it. Flaming Juan's Fajitas.
Oh yeah.
Dang.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think you guys, actually, when I got here to Las Vegas, you and Adam, we were someplace doing something, and you guys put the recommend in. And so thank you for that. I mean, we don't live there, but we kind of live there. We could probably just pay rent both of those spots. But, man, really good. So shout out to you guys. But I told the family while we were there, hey, look, just letting you know, next week, I give them the annual heads up. Even though once it starts unfolding like craziness, they're like, you didn't say it was going to be like this. I'm like, I told you this 3 days ago that it was going to be nuts. So just stop it. So anyway, give the family the annual heads up because craziness is about to commence. But Sam, doing some poking around, it'll be interesting. Let's just put it that way. Only because where the salary caps are, where players, the players want everything. That's what I've been hearing. they want everything and everything under the sun, and as they should. I think there's going to be a little bit of a rude awakening on what the market really looks like based on the salary cap going down and teams scrambling to get under it. And so I think that it could cause a little bit of a delayed reaction as reality sets in for these guys, and they believing maybe that if I give it one more day, that magical offer is going to come, and it doesn't, and they have to adjust their expectations, or players realize, and agents, if they're doing a shrewd job and understanding the market, are going to tell their guys, look, man, it ain't happening the way it's happened in the past. So when you get a good offer, jump on it. So it could go both ways. It could happen really quick or a little delayed reaction. What are you anticipating?
I'm anticipating Vinny, a rash of deals right away for maybe some, a bulk of players, and then kind of a quiet period as the market kind of resets. And then I think it's going to pick up a little later on. Just like you said, legal tampering period, like you said, deals are already being talked about. There are things that are going on all across the league right now that we're probably going to, that we're certainly going to learn about the next few days. So, that's what I'm kind of expecting now for as of 9 o'clock, 9 a.m. Monday morning, Vinny, where we're at right now, just for some context for the Raiders, where are they at in terms of their cap situation, right? They have quite a bit of cap space and can create some more. So where are they at right now? As of 9 a.m. Monday?
Well, two things. Number one, just to let everyone know, I'm sure everyone read it last night, but the Raiders are hosting Kyle Long. Does that name sound familiar? Well, it should. It's son of Howie Long, Raiders great, Howie Long, who was retired from football last year. But prior to that, he played 7 years with the Chicago Bears, three-time Pro Bowler. Now qualify that. The last three, I think from 2016 to 2019, my man was really battling injuries. He played 30 games over 3 years. So obviously that's always a concern, and I think that's why he hung it up. Probably fed up And I've dealt with athletes who are like, man, I don't want to do any rehab anymore, man. Brother, I'm done with that, you know, just to get hurt again. Hell no. So, but sometimes, and it sounds like this in Kyle's way of thinking and maybe his situation, that year may have done wonders for the body. And he seems to think that he's good to go and is in great shape and wants to play again. And if he's right, I mean, if he's healthy and the body's right and he can deliver, you know, a consistent amount of games, that dude is a good player still, Sam. So before we get to where the Raiders are, you know, with all the numbers and everything like that, and it's looking pretty good for them, what do you think about the possibility of Kyle Long if he's right?
I think it's a tremendous fit, Vinny, and not, you know, based on the connections to the franchise, to Vegas. I think it's also worth noting that his brother, Howie Jr., is a member of the Raiders business staff operations too. So he has that tie here as well. But it makes complete sense, right? Given where we know the Raiders are at with their offensive line, that there's already been some reshuffling and that it's not going to be the same unit that it was in 2020. We know that. That's not a secret. Why not try and bring in a guy that, Vinny, first 3 years of his career is Pro Bowler. Pro Bowl offensive lineman, first 3 years, 6'5", 330. Really, I think could be a difference maker. And like you said, having that year off, he's fresh, rejuvenated, and ready to make an impact. I think whether it's in Las Vegas or somewhere else, I think he'd be definitely an impact player on any team that he signs with and would be huge, especially given the context of where the Raiders are at right now with their offensive line situation, given that there's some reshuffling. So I think it makes a ton of sense, and it's not necessarily a surprise that they're having him in on a visit. I'm really curious to see how that plays out, because I do believe, like you said, he's a difference maker with that unit if he joins the fold.
Yeah, and he'll be joining a very young offensive line, or at the very least, an offensive line that's going to be in a little bit of flux because, you know, don't know what the situation fully is going to be with Gabe Jackson. Don't know whether Richie Incognito is coming back. Don't know if Denzel Good gets re-signed. We already know Big Trent Brown got traded to New England Patriots last week. So veteran leadership is going to be something that's going to really be needed. And Kyle Long brings that and more. He's just a stand-up dude and a really good player when healthy. So can fill a bunch of different roles, right side, left side. You might even be able to move him out to tackle.
He played tackle 2015. He played tackle. So there's the versatility is for a unit that is in flux. Having somebody with that kind of versatility, I think, is huge and allows them, I mean, the ripple effect, it allows them to be a little bit more flexible down the line, if he joins the fray.
Look for 7@7 local streaming news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Find it on your smartphone at the RJ app, or it's available on Roku TV, Fire TV, and Apple TV. Download the app and you're ready to go for 7@7.
Okay, so where are the Raiders as we speak? Well, they restructured the deals of Corey Littleton and Nick Witkowski middle last week. I can't remember. The days are all kind of blurred. But anyway, that saved them another $7.1 million under the salary cap. That puts them, if Gabe Jackson is gone, as we suspect, that puts them right around $40 million. Next up would probably be Marcus Mariota. I think the Raiders are holding on to him for two reasons. Number one, I think they kind of want to see if he, I know that they would probably, they'd be open to a renegotiation with him, a reconstruction to take that number down, maybe put some guaranteed money in his pocket, and be able to keep him at a much, you know, reduced cost. Players are me like, nah, I don't want to do that. I'd rather go on the open market and see what I'm worth and maybe get an even better deal. So we'll see where that goes. But it's looking like either restructuring for Marcus Mariota, a trade or a release, if they release him or trade him. It's another $10.7 million. So you're starting to look around $50 million where the Raiders are going to be with their salary cap. You got to account for the $10 million that's going to be needed to sign their rookie class. Now you could always do that post draft, post free agency, and then rework some deals. The Raiders did that last year with Corey Littleton. They signed him to this big deal, and then in September, they renegotiated it so that they converted a bunch of money to to a signing bonus, and they took his salary last year down to $900,000. That could be an option where you spend as much as you want of that $50 million or $40 million, and then rework it down the road in order to get your rookie class signed. But we'll see. It puts them in good position to really be players at free agency. I did a blueprint of what, you know, I thought it could look like.
Excellent primer, by the way. Excellent
primer. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's you could check it out at if you download the Vegas Nation app or if you go to VegasNation.com. It should be there up and posted and check it out if you want. But I had them addressing a couple of big needs super early. And that's our guy, John Johnson. I did see somewhere on Twitter, somebody said, find you somebody that loves you like Vinny loves John Johnson. Well, I'm just, hey, at least I've been consistent, right?
I don't
throw out like eight different blueprints trying to get clicks, like blueprint number seven, you know, like I'm sticking with my guns. And I know that John Johnson can play. I know that he's played cover two and some strong safety with the Rams last year. He's at free safety, called the defense. Go check out, just Google Brandon Staley and John Johnson. Don't take my word for it. Just listen to his former defense coordinator, now the head coach of Chargers. Anyway, got John Johnson, Dalvin Tomlinson, the defensive tackle from the Giants, although I would not be shocked at all if they went big on defensive end in the early rounds. Keep in mind, like Yannick Ngakoue is a name to keep an eye on. But I did have them, and I'm just being told that this looks pretty fairly promising as Melvin Ingram as a veteran defensive end, and so those were the three big pickups. Any thoughts on that, or where do you see potentially them going early on, especially?
Yeah, Vinny. Well, like you said, I mean, no secret you have been advocating or suggesting that John Johnson come into play for the Raiders, and I think that would be a perfect fit, right? And we talked about this on the pod before, but just to kind of go over it. Was a top three safety in the NFL last year, according to Pro Football Focus. Coverage, stopping the run, experience, veteran, but still only 25, so 25-year-old veteran. So that is, I feel like, is a perfect fit because he kind of fits the Raiders' timeline in terms of their youth and what they want to develop. But in the same regard, he's super experienced, having played for a team that went to the Super Bowl, has 4 years under his belt, and could really, I think, emerge as a leader in that secondary. So I think that really, to me, addresses, I mean, in free agency, would address the first need. And then the defensive lineman as well. I mean, that we know that was a big problem last year, the defensive line generating pressure, generating any type of pass rush. So when you can add a vet, like if they add a vet like Melvin Ingram, I think that'd be a good fit at this stage of his career. Maybe not quite the player that he once was, but still an effective pass rusher nonetheless. Still, I think, can be really effective in certain situations. We are talking about a guy that has had double-digit sacks twice in his career and seven sacks or more in five of the last six seasons, excluding the 2020 season in which he was banged up and did not play a full 16 games, only played seven games. So just for a little context there. So, but Johnson to me feels like the big move to be made. And then I think, like you touched on, Vinny, they can fill out defensive line in the draft. They can, I think, address offensive line as well in the draft. I do think that they're going to probably see who's available on that offensive line in free agency, just because you never know, and you can never have enough good offensive linemen or enough depth at that unit. But for me, I think Johnson would be a perfect fit and would really take that secondary, would really provide that secondary with a marquee, proven kind of playmaker with a track record of someone who's capable of making big plays, and then help get the most out of the other guys in that unit as well.
Yeah, a couple things to pass along. The Lions have come to an agreement with Romeo Okewara, their defensive end. He's off the board. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have signed Shaq Barrett. He's off the board. So, you know, one of those things, I try to be somewhat realistic, you know, with the blueprint. I know it's not my money, so I'm going to spend all of it. You better believe that. But also, it's kind of like knowing, like, I didn't think Shaq Barrett, for whatever reason, I thought Shaq Barrett was either going to stay in Tampa Bay or be one of the real $20 million a year kind of guys. But it'll be interesting to see where, what kind of deal he got. Romeo got a three-year deal worth $39 million. We could do the math on that. Kind of give, and the reason why that's important is because it sets things.
Sets the market, yep.
Yeah, exactly. So 39, right, equals, that's a $13 million a year average annual salary. There you go. So now, you know, when you start thinking about a Yannick Ngakoue and a Trey Hendrickson, those are the numbers that you're going to be looking at. Now, it obviously that also depends on what kind of a signing bonus he got, when the outs are, when the voidable years are, all that kind of stuff. But gives you an idea now of what you know, of what the Raiders can expect and what everybody else can expect out on the open market. So again, you know, a guy like in years past, a guy like Shaq Barrett. Now, I mean, he's with the Super Bowl champions. Who wouldn't want to stay in that situation,
right?
But a guy like Romeo in years past, I think, would have said, you know what, I'm gonna go check out what's on the open market, believing with a regular market that he could probably drive that price up even more. But here's a case where, you know what, the agent told him, look, man, it might not get any better than this. You like it here. You've been here. You know, this is your home now. Let's just go ahead and jump on it. So that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think you might see a lot of that early on, where the numbers might not be extravagant, but they're solid, and the players understand this is where it is right now in the market.
Now, given that a couple of those names you just mentioned, Vinny, like obviously the Lions are retaining Okwara and the Buccaneers are retaining Shaq Barrett, what do you think this means for deals like this? What do you think this means? I mean, again, it's still very early, obviously, but what does this mean for the Raiders in terms of retaining their own free agents? And what do you expect from that? I know it's something we kind of touched on last week, but now that we're closer, now that things have actually gone under, you know, have got underway, is there a scenario where impending free agents, Raiders free agents to be, would take a little bit less or not see what's out there on the market because of the salary cap constraints and because of the kind of the situation that the teams around the league are dealing with?
Yeah, and I think for the Raiders, there's really only a couple of if that, just you have to have guys back. The wide receiver Nelson Aguilar is one of those, and I don't think he's going to break the bank. You know, I think that he probably comes in around $7 million, maybe $8 million year for a couple years. Denzel Good, I don't think he's going to break the bank, so you could probably get him at a relative bargain. Nicholas Morrow, same thing. I think that, you know, he's gonna. It sounds like he's gonna test the market a little bit, but I don't know. You know, like has he put up enough body of work to suggest that he's going to be outpriced by the Raiders? I don't know. I think there's a lot of good players out there, and you know, I think Morrow still has a bright future. He showed last year, you know, that he's on the upswing. But I don't know if it's there for him right now. You know, it might be in his best interest to sign a shorter deal and then get back out on the open market after you show what you're worth in these next couple of years. So those three guys are the guys that I think, you know, the Raiders will prioritize, but I don't think that they would go over and above for any of them.
Yeah, and that makes sense given that there are needs, obviously bigger holes elsewhere on the roster, and that there are moves to be made. I mean, there are moves to be made throughout the course of the week. It's not necessarily anything that you need to dig deep into your cap space early on to kind of fix. So. Will be interesting to see what the Raiders do with those guys nonetheless, and how they want to bring those guys back into the fray, or what replacements they choose to target if there is a market for Nelson Aguilar, if he can get more money somewhere else, say the Colts, who is a team that he's been rumored to be linked to in terms of having possible interest. So he's, like you mentioned, Vinny, he's the one I'm kind of monitoring given the impact that he had on the Raiders offense in 2020 and the production that he was able to put forward. So that's definitely one to keep an eye on, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, there's also sometimes something to be said about, hey, you know what, good luck to you, thanks for the service, but you know, we're gonna be disciplined here, and you know, less need in the Rams. You should always preach that, you know, and I would talk to them about that, and they were like, look, you know, you have to know when to fold them, and then because if you, a guy like Nelson Aguilar is probably going to go someplace and be a starter and play enough in order for the Raiders, you know, if it goes down this road, and I'm not saying it is, I think he comes back, but if he doesn't, you're still looking at a comp pick next year, and those are valuable too. If you get yourself into that kind of a situation where you're going to be able to, you know, play that game and play that game successfully on knowing, who to you can't let out the door, but between that and, well, don't want him to leave the door, but it's not so bad to get a third round pick for him too down the road. So we'll see. But it is an exciting time. We may have to do. We'll see. We'll check with the powers that be. But maybe there's a regroup or a reset coming this week. I'm not making.
Yeah, an emergency podcast, so to
yes,
speak.
I think we're probably in that on alert kind of. Let's go ahead and get out there and get our thoughts out there. So let's keep that in play. If the Raiders are bold and make some big moves, I think it warrants Sam and us regrouping too. So keep an eye out for that. Have fun this weekend. I know it's going to be stressful for Raider fans and exciting. It always is. But I do expect the Raiders. They didn't make all these moves to get under the cap just to sit there and play.
To not spend money.
Exactly. they got something up their sleeves. So we will see what it is. We'll probably check back in with you later this week to analyze it and to go over it. Until then, thanks for listening. Really appreciate it. You guys are why we do this. Sam, thank you. Get some rest. Well, I know you're all rested up and revved up, but it's ready to. The bullets are ready to start flying. So, look forward to coordinating with you on everything that happens. And Larry Muir, to our great producer, appreciate everything that you do. We will talk to you guys later this week.
Please check out our new 7 at 7 newscast weekdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Get every bit of local news you need in 7 minutes from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.